The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm probably going to share a few things with you today that should be relatively obvious, but sometimes it's just helpful to hear the obvious. You may or may not know this, but if you're putting together a team of people to do a job, it's a process of getting the team together. Maybe you've had that experience in your life, wherever it may be. Could be within your family, could be within your work. Some of us just enjoy that sort of concept so much, we study it. So, something you may not know, my undergrad work, my bachelor's degree is in human development. And you have to ask yourself, well, what is exactly human development? And it's just that. Every aspect of a developing human. You'd think with a degree in it, I'd be a more developed human, but this is what we got so far. There's still time, I hope. When I'm fully developed, you'll know I won't be here. But the fact of the matter is, what exactly is human development? And this is my own definition. I guess I get to do that since I have the degree in it. It's, you're mapping a process humans naturally take in their development to understand ourselves better. So human development actually studies what humanity does naturally, all the way from birth forward. You think, why would that be at all helpful? I said, well, it's helpful because every once in a while, in our sinfulness, we don't act like we're developed. So sometimes it's helpful if you have a map. So somebody maps out what normal, whatever that is in humanity, human development looks like. And if we get off track, maybe we can go back to the map and say, what went wrong here? And we can get back in line. So it's helpful in that way. Well, it's more helpful for me to see it in other people. I don't particularly care to see it in myself. So it is helpful. And in the midst of Mark this morning, we notice that Jesus is understanding something about his disciples in their development as his leadership group, and he sees a problem. And he takes this opportunity to have a teaching moment. So it's a two-part teaching, which is always a good thing. Chapter 9, verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it. That's just Mark and his messianic secret. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Now, he's taught them this before in the gospel according to Mark. Each time it has not been welcomed. So now they're just saying, let's just pretend he's not saying anything at all. And they go on their way. So Jesus is prepping them. Here's the hard truth that's coming. Be aware of it. We would call that open communication. Jesus is being very transparent to what the future of this ministry is going to look like. They just don't want to hear it. And then they came to Capernaum. Verse 33, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about along the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down. It seems strange, right, to us? You're walking with Jesus and you're arguing with your friends who's the greatest. You would think it would be obvious, wouldn't it? But maybe not. I mean, we weren't there. But they were silent on the way, for they had been arguing with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. In case they were wondering who the greatest was, they refused to tell him what it was, and then he responded to what they were doing anyway. Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. So this is part two of the teaching moment. He discovers that in his group that is coming together, his leadership, they don't fully understand their purpose yet. And he is trying to help them get a grasp on it. They think they're part of a rebellious movement that is going to overthrow the government, to be very honest. He's a rebel. And they are following him. And their thought process is, well, when he's in charge, I want to be important too. So they're trying to decide who's going to get what position, who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be his right hand, so to speak, Jesus' right hand. Jesus then comes to them and says, you don't understand what this is about, brothers and sisters. You got to understand that if you are going to follow me, you need to be one who serves all people, a servant to all. Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. This concept of hierarchy that the world has is not the same as the kingdom, is it? This Jesus, although he is leading a rebellion, this is not a rebellion against the world in any way in which we've ever seen it before and have not seen it since. He is not conquering the way that warriors conquer. He has no desire to be king worldly because he is the Prince of Peace. He doesn't need the worldly concept in order to bring about the kingdom of God, because the worldly concept, quite frankly, is in opposition most of the time to the kingdom of God. Amen? He is turning things upside down, as he consistently does and has consistently done ever since. He does it to us still today, doesn't he? We think we know how things should go. We think we know who is in charge. And then suddenly we discover we don't seem to know anything at all. We want to know how to follow Jesus, and then Jesus tells us how to follow him. And we don't necessarily like what he has to say, so we just don't ask anymore. Actually been there in my life, by the way. Well, you should ask God what he wants you to do. I said, I did that, and he told me. I just didn't like what he said. So I'm just not going to ask anymore. I got over it, obviously. But the fact of the matter is, many of our concepts, much of our human development is very worldly, not heavenly. Jesus knows this. So he is continually trying to teach us otherwise. The benefit of understanding our development as humans, more specifically sinful humans, is when Jesus tells us something and he is guiding us to a particular place and we don't necessarily like what he's saying, he knows you don't like it already, just like he proved in his teaching moment. He already knows you don't like it. You can ignore him if you'd like. I find it very hard to sleep when I do that. But I would say this. He knows and he loves and he holds on to us anyway and continues to say, come this way. As strange as it may seem, this is the right way to move. And to prove his point of what it means to be a servant of all, then he took a little child and put it among them. At this point in life, when Jesus was teaching, he is teaching his disciples in this moment. He has taken the position of their rabbi. And in this moment, to bring a child into the midst, for he himself to take this child in his position of teacher, in the teaching position, so to speak, he has now brought in an example of what society at that time, worldly perspective, would think, this child is of no value. They have no opinions that matter. they are not capable of doing anything helpful. And until they are, they just need to be out of the way. I suspect you knew that about society at that point. This was an expendable, barely human being, this child. And Jesus brought this child into a situation where a child should have never been, at a time that the child should have been out of the way and quiet. He brought the child forward and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." He is saying, all the things that we understand in our worldly human development about other people might be wrong. And the reality is, we only have one thing to do anyway if we are going to form into this group known as the body of Christ, and that is to hear him say, "He who wants to be first will have to be last and become servant of all." Even the ones who the world tells you have no value, maybe more especially servant to the ones that the world says have no value. He says, serve this one. Serve this child. Welcome this child, this barely human being that has no value. And work your way up from there. And I want to, Oliver, thank you for having something to say this morning, so we know you're present with us. Now it's different. As I sit here as your perceived teacher, if I bring Oliver over here, that's just a really wonderful, cute moment. 2 years from now, when I'm standing and Oliver goes screaming past me, you're probably thinking, does Morgan know what she's doing or not? But you know what? Isn't it interesting that on this day, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, who thought they were more important than the mission that they were forming to carry, wanted to know how important they would be in the middle of it, Jesus says, "You are less important than the least important person that is in our society, a child." Isn't it interesting that he continues to do the same for the church? The children are among us here at Holy Innocents. Well, at 8 o'clock, a child is among us here at Holy Innocents. 10:30 is a little different, which may be why some of you are at 8 o'clock. But don't forget this. I know we all need time to be quiet with God. But let's never forget that the lesson that God is teaching us is the same today as the lesson Jesus taught to his disciples. If it's about us first, if it's about ourselves first, it is worldly. If it is a desire and a transformation within us in our human development to want to serve others first, even the very least, most especially the very least in our society, that is kingdomly. That's what the call is, to serve. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Amen.